ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये।
Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, 2nd chapter, text number 20.
Shri Shuka Uvacha Tayevam Suvinirniya Dharmam Bhagavatam Nripa Tam Yamya Pasha Nirmucha Shan Vipram Vrityo Ramu Muchan.
Translation by the Divine Grace Sri Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Shri Shukadeva Goswami continued, "My dear King, having thus perfectly judged the principles of devotional service with reasoning and arguments, the order carriers of Lord Vishnu released the Brahmana Ajamila from the bondage of the Yamadutas and saved him from imminent death." There is no purport here. We will read one more verse. Text number 21.
Iti pratyuditayamya dutayatva yamantikam yamaragne yatha sarvam achachakshur aranditam arandima.
The translation is like this. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, O subduer of all enemies, after the servants of Yamaraj had been answered by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, they went to Yamaraj and explained to him everything that had happened. Purport by His Divine Grace, S. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki. In this verse, the word pratyuditaha is very significant. The servants of Yamaraj are so powerful that they can never be hindered anywhere. But this time, they were baffled and disappointed in their attempt to take away a man they considered sinful. Therefore, they immediately returned to Yamaraj and described to him everything that had happened. Hare Krishna. I am very sorry to put many of you in disappointment here. Not only His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj is not giving the morning program today, but I actually came with anticipation to hear from Govind Prabhu or someone here. So Govind Prabhu captured me and put me here. And yatha mati, yatha shakti, yatha shrutam, whatever I learned from my superiors, I will try to present it to the best of my ability. We are reading from this chapter, Ajamila, delivered by the Vishnu Dutas. As it is explained here, we are coming to the concluding part of the conversation between Vishnu Dutas and Yamadutas. And now the Yamadutas leave Ajamila and they are going back to their master. And Srila Prabhupada says here that the Yamadutas can never be hindered anywhere. But this time they were baffled and disappointed. in their attempt to take away a man they considered sinful. Not a man who was sinful, who was considered sinful by them. So when we talk about the power of the Yamadutas or power of Yamaraj to be never hindered anywhere, certainly we should begin with the source of that power, where they get the Shakti to be aware of the sinful people and to punish the sinful. So the source of the strength of the Yamaraj or Yamadutas is Lord himself, Lord Krishna himself. Originally the quality of being omniscient is there with Krishna. He is omniscient, he is all-knowing. Sometimes the impersonalists come to a wrong conclusion that if the absolute truth were to be omniscient and omnipotent and omnipresent, then it has to be impersonal. But then we find in the scriptures descriptions of Lord being present everywhere at the same time with eyes and ears and feet and everything. Sarvata pani padam tat sarvato akshishiro mukam. Lord's eyes are everywhere. Lord's sarvata shrutiman loke. Lord's ears are everywhere, it is said. Lord's face is everywhere. Lord's head is everywhere. Lord's feet is everywhere. Hands are everywhere, it is said. So if the absolute truth were impersonal, then there was no need for Lord Krishna to say specifically about the eyes and the ears and the hand and leg and all these things. So what is the meaning of saying Lord's eyes are everywhere? For us to conceive this with our limited brain is very difficult. But still some explanation is given that when it is said that Lord's eyes are everywhere, what it means is there is a gulf of difference between our eyes and Lord's eyes. Like our eyes have so many limitations. We can only see within a certain range, visible range and all that. We cannot see behind us. We cannot see what is happening on the other side of the wall. But the Lord's eyes are competent to see anywhere at the same time. That means Lord can see with his eyes everywhere at the same time. Simultaneously he is seeing everything, the whole creation. That is the meaning of Swabhavaki Jnana Barakriyacha. When we say, like as soon as there is an itching somewhere in my body, immediately the hand goes to that portion of the body and we scratch it. Similarly, the whole universe is like the Lord's body and he can know the happenings in the whole universe simultaneously at all times. That is the power of his eye. Similarly, our eyes don't have the power to see in darkness. When all lights are put off, when there is no sunlight, we can't even see our own hand or leg or body. We can't look at our own face. But Lord's eyes have such power that even in pitch darkness, he can see. Once I was hearing from Radha Gopinath Prabhu, he was saying, Lord can see a black ant on a black stone in the dark night, he was telling. So that is the power of his eye. He can see even in pitch darkness. So in this way, these are two explanations we are able to give for the power of the eye of the Lord with our limited understanding. So we also should agree with the fact that there may be many more understandings which are beyond our conceivability, in which Lord will be able to see. We can give some explanation to understand how powerful is Lord's eye. And nothing can escape the sight of the Lord. That is why in the Vedic life, you see, people make a promise by touching a book like Bhagavad Gita or some book, saying that whatever I say is true and whatever I say is not false and I will not say anything that is untrue. I promise on the book. Why? Because they knew that Lord is actually watching everywhere, in all places. Or you hear the story of a Gurukul boy who could not eat the mango by going into any hiding. While all the other boys, they hid themselves in the bush and somebody was hiding inside a blanket and all that. But the boy who had the right understanding of God, he knew that God's eyes are everywhere and He's watching everything and no one can escape Him. In this world, somebody may escape the policeman's vigil and somebody may be a niraparadi and he may be punished for no good reason. Whereas, in the Lord's eye, no one can escape. Even if one escapes the punishment from the government, after death one has to be captured by the Lord and eventually one will be punished. So, that is why Lord is said to be all-knowing or omniscient. Omniscient means all-knowing. In Mahabharata, during the war, at one time, the Pandavas had fought so vigorously that Duryodhana had lost heart. That day when he came back, he told Bhishma Pitama that it seems that you have a soft corner for the Pandavas, due to which you are not exerting yourself fully. You are only making a show of fighting. It seems to me it's better to put Karna in the front instead of you. So Bhishma Pitama became very angry. He said the Pandavas are so virtuous and they are also headed by the personification of all religious principles, the father of all religion, Krishna himself. How do you not expect them to be victorious? And you are already weakened by sin and all your nefarious activities. And that is the cause of your downfall. Not that I am showing a soft corner to the Pandavas. I have taken a solemn vow that I will fight on behalf of Kurus, whoever is the ruling party, and I am exerting myself fully. But then Bhishma said, if you don't believe in my dedication to this Kuru race, I will prove it tomorrow. He took 5 silver arrows and invested them with mantras, and he kept them in a velvet cloth and told Duryodhana, tomorrow in the battle I'll slay all the 5 Pandavas with these 5 arrows, provided the Lord does not interfere, he said. And then Duryodhana was very happy. So he told Bhishma, better you give it to me, I'll keep it safely. So he took it and kept it with him. That very night, before Duryodhana retired to bed, Arjuna arrived there. Because Lord Krishna had told Arjuna, Arjuna, you think Pandavas have been leading and you're happy, but let me tell you, there is a great danger now. Better you go to that Kaurava side now and come. So Arjuna had gone there, and just before Duryodhana was about to sleep, Arjuna went and asked him. Of course, in those days, when there would be a war, after the war is over during the day, they would be like friends in the evening, sharing with one another, talking together. So Arjuna actually went with no weapons in hand. He went on a horse and he got down and went to meet Duryodhana. And Duryodhana asked him, Arjuna, what do you want? Do you want your kingdom back? If you ask your kingdom in charity, I can give you back. Of course, he knew very well Arjuna was not a beggar. No true Kshatriya will go and beg like that. But Arjuna said, Duryodhana, I have come to ask for the boon which you are supposed to offer me long ago. Once when I saved you from the hand of Gandharvas, you were ready to give me a boon. And I didn't ask you at that time. Now I am going to ask you. He said, I want those 5 arrows. And Duryodhana was shell-shocked. How did he come to know this? Who told him? Why only those 5 arrows? And he couldn't say a word. He gave it back to him. He gave it to him. And Duryodhana and Arjuna boarded the horse and was about to go. And Duryodhana asked him, Arjuna, can I know who told you about these 5 arrows? And Arjuna said, who else can tell me except Lord Krishna? And then Arjuna proceeded. And Duryodhana thought to himself, I have been hearing that this Krishna is the supreme divinity incarnate. Probably it is true. Maybe he is God. Otherwise, how did he know everything? Thinking like this, he bowed down in his own bed, offering an obeisances to Krishna before going to bed. So we hear this pastime in Mahabharata, how Krishna was all-knowing at all times. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyani chabhutani mamtu vedana kashana. He knows everything, past, present and future. So Lord is knowledgeable and no one can escape his sight. One who deserves punishment will be punished by him. He's all powerful also. In fact, some people amongst Christians, because of lack of understanding of the supreme truth about the Lord's power and nature and everything, they came to many wrong conclusions. I read an article by Kalakanta Prabhu in Back to Godhead magazine. So he writes about a plane crash. So he says that there was a plane crash and all the people involved in sending out that airplane, they were very annoyed. They put scientists to research into the plane crash. What was the cause? Because in a plane crash, practically nobody will be alive. So it was a big loss, undoubtedly. So after a lot of research, they said it was beyond human error. That was the conclusion they came up with. It was beyond human error. So then what kind of error is it? Beyond human error. So maybe some machines failed, some engines failed, or something happened. And could there be a cause for that? So they were trying to research more. So one of them suggested, maybe God is very cruel. Because God is not merciful on people. They are flying on a plane, God should be little kind, they are going so high in the air, how can he crash them? So another person said, another person came to the conclusion, he said, no, probably God also is not as powerful. Or probably he is unaware. What's happening where? Probably he has too many things to manage. He's not able to control. Isn't it? So he thought, to err is divine and to forgive is human. That's what he thought. Actually, it's often said, to err is human, to forgive is divine. So they thought that maybe God has committed some error. So that was the conclusion they came up with. It's God's error. What can we do? We are very sorry to say that God has mistakenly committed an error. So Kalakanta Prabhu writes there in that article, God never commits an error at any time. We often ask, why do bad things happen to good people? Neither are those things bad, nor are those people good people, he says. Because everything that happens has a cause. It may be very cruel to say this, like when people were submerged in tsunami, due to the tsunami wave, when they were submerged under the ground. It was certainly very painful for all the world to hear about 380,000 people dying. And some of them were submerged in the sand underground and they could not even breathe. They suffocated and died. But there are people we should see in this world who kill the children in the womb. They abort the children without allowing them to see the daylight. So are they not suffocating those children by breaking the skull and killing them in darkness within the womb? So do such people who kill those children not deserve a similar end? So such questions should be asked, because nothing happens by chance in this world. Everything happens in Lord's knowledge. Even if suffering comes in our life, we have to know that it is not happening without the knowledge of Krishna. Lord is watching it. Lord is aware of it. Lord knows that I am suffering. And he is doing it and allowing somebody else to do it for me. Why? Because he wants me to reform. And he has that awareness. So we have to be, when we are aware of this, then we are freed from the pain that comes along with the suffering. So originally, the awareness is there in the Lord, such kind of awareness. That's the meaning of God. God can never commit a mistake. Like one Christian father's son had a disease called progeria. So this fellow was getting old in a very young age, like 10 or 15 years of age. He was appearing to be a very old man. So the father became very angry on God. He said, what kind of God is this? I am a father, pastor in the church, and how can my son get this kind of disease? So he came to a wrong conclusion again. He thought God is probably, God is merciful, but he's not powerful. Or if God is powerful, he's not merciful. Actually, God is powerful, he is merciful, but still he may give punishment what is due for a person, for the sake of reforming that person. So, Krishna is all-knowing, and he has the ability to invest a similar power in somebody else, like the Yamadutas or the Yamaraj, to know who is a sinner and how a sinner should be captured and punished. That kind of knowledge God can invest in a person. Interesting, Yamaraj. Yamaraj has the ability to know. Yamaraj, is he like Paramatma that he knows everyone? Actually, Paramatma is the expansion of Lord Himself who knows everything. Like nowadays, they keep this, for the politicians, they keep a recorder in the button, you know. They keep a recorder in the button. So whatever he speaks is recorded without his knowledge. Later on, when he removes his kurta, they take it and they decode everything and they pull him down from the post. That he spoke all these things. So nowadays everyone is very afraid what they speak. They are very conscious. Because where they have kept a recorder or a flash player, where, nobody knows. But throughout our term in the material world, we have a recorder accompanying us, which is Super Soul. Constantly is watching our activities at every point of time. But people are unaware of it. That is why it is said, Yena Vishwe, there is a verse in the Gajendra section, very beautiful verse, which says, the whole world does not see that the Paramatma is seeing. But the Paramatma, Chakshur Yasyana Rishyati, it is said. Lord's eye never blinks, but our eye always keeps blinking. So somebody can commit a mistake when we blink our eyes once, isn't it? But the Lord's eye never blinks. It's constantly open and is watching all our activities. If you are aware of this, we'll be afraid to commit any sin. So Lord has that power, and He can also invest similar power in somebody like Yamaraj. When Lord empowers a person, then naturally He can also know the sinners, and He can also capture them and through His agents bring them. Now we were discussing about the Lord's omniscience and power. Secondly, we can also talk about the power of the Lord's energies. Lord's energies are also extremely powerful. We can say they are as much powerful as the Lord Himself by the mercy of the Lord. They are extremely powerful. Like Durga, for example. Mama Maya Duratyaya, Krishna says. Daivi Hyesha Gunamayi Mama Maya Duratyaya. The word Durga, Dur means very difficult to overcome. Durgama. Even in the word English, duress comes from dur. Dur. Dur means very difficult. Durable, we say. Durable comes from Durga only. Dur. Dur means long lasting. It's very powerful. So, Durga is so powerful that she has domination over all the living entities. Without making any walls in the jail of this material world, she has bound them all with invisible ropes of three gunas, that nobody wants to leave this world. Everyone in this world is trying to delight in hellish enjoyment without wanting to go out. So Durga is very difficult to cross over. And she has utilized her three gunas powers, just like if you take some paint, watercolor, for example, watercolor. It doesn't charm anyone's heart. But you take the same watercolor, mix them in different proportions and put it on a canvas. If an artist draws a picture, it awakens different emotions. Like you draw the picture of a beggar with a begging bowl, immediately it evokes compassion. You draw the picture of some obscene picture, it evokes lust. In the same way, Durga has simply taken the three gunas, along with collaboration with Brahmaji. Brahma gives the nice packaging of the body, and she has invested the three modes in all the living entities according to their desires and natures and modes. And we all got different bodies. And for every living entity, there are attractions presented in a very powerful way, extremely powerful, practically impossible to overcome. Krishna says, Mama Maya Duratyaya. So she is one of the energies of the Lord. Parasya Shaktir Vivideva Shuyate Swabhavaki Jnana Balakriyacha. It is said, Krishna, a God, He doesn't have to do anything. He has to just will. and it will happen. Simply by willing, it happens. As soon as the Ichcha Shakti is expressed by Krishna, immediately Durga does all the activities for him. Like, you know, in the Bhagavatam we read how simply by the Lord's glance, the material nature became agitated and started becoming active. Without the Lord's glance, nothing can happen. So by Lord's order, Durga is doing all the powerful activities. Prabhupada speaks in one of his lectures, don't be surprised how Lord is able to get it all done through Durga. Even we have a printing machine, for example, you just press a button, some print command you give, tuck. Immediately hear the printer, it goes. Of course, nowadays printers don't make sound. We are not talking about the laser printer, we are talking about the dot matrix printer. So for somebody it may be a very amazing thing. How this thing is moving so fast. But you have programmed it. You give a command and it moves. And Prabhupada says, similarly, Krishna also has a Vividaiva Suyate button, Prabhupada says. Vividaiva button. What is Vividaiva? Paras Shaktir Vividaiva Suyate. When the Lord, in the morning, you see one ray of the sun when it comes and falls on the plant, immediately you find the beautiful flowers are blossoming in the morning, you see. So it's a very subtle thing that happens. It's a very miraculous thing for us. How? There are so many things happening all around us. So Lord actually, Prabhupada says, don't expect the Lord to take a hammer and chisel and come and create the material world. Like a sculptor creating. Lord is not supposed to do this thing so grossly. His energies are so subtle, so fine. Simply by willing, the Lord can do things. In fact, even if a living entity gives up all material desires, then even such a living entity gets the power to simply will something and get it. For example, if somebody has given up all material desires and desires only to serve Krishna, as soon as he desires, immediately Krishna will provide it. Why? Because he doesn't desire anything generally. And if he desires also, it will be for Krishna's pleasure only. Like Prabhupada said to Radha Rasbihari, my dear Lord, I will make a very beautiful temple for you. Please patiently wait. He told them. So when a pure devotee desires something, Lord immediately fulfills. So if a devotee, pure devotee's desire can be fulfilled instantly, why can't Lord's desire can be very easily fulfilled? So Lord's energies like Durga or Brahma, for example, or Yamaraj, they are all extremely powerful. No one can escape their vigil. In the same series of verses, you will find there is a verse which talks about the 12 kinds of sakshis in this world, like the sun, the moon, the earth, and the water, and fire, and such sakshis. So there are many, many people observing our activities, what we are doing, what everyone is doing. So every action we perform is recorded. Apart from the super soul, there are many others also watching our activities. And they will give sakshi also for us. And Yamaraj and Yamadutas, such personalities are actually empowered by the Lord to punish those who are sinful. And they cannot escape. Unfortunately, in the modern times, there is a kind of trend that's coming up where people are losing fear for sin and sinful activities. People say, who has seen tomorrow? Who knows I am going to be punished? Who knows there is law of karma? So one of the reasons for this is ignorance and lack of education about the subtlety of karma and the subtlety of every action. People are not taught by that. There is a story in one of the Puranas of women from Kampilya Desh. There is a place called Kampilya. So there, one day, a very attractive looking Brahmana, who was a very tall personality, looking very handsome, he brought an instrument and he was playing an instrument and singing. So the women of that Kampilya Desh, seeing the beauty of this man, they became attacked by Cupid in their heart. And they surrounded him and they started following him wherever he went. and they wanted to talk to him, converse him. So all the husbands at home, they were all very annoyed that the women have left home and they are wandering behind a man. And they all went and complained to the king. The king called for the Brahman and asked him, "My dear Brahmana, what is the kind of enchanting, some mystic power that you have, that you are attracting all these women towards you?" And women also came there. They also came to tell the king that the woman said, "My dear king, do not punish that Brahmana. Our hearts are attacked by Cupid, just as a bud would blossom into bloom, into flower. Similarly, by hearing his music, sweet music, and hearing his handsome form, we are all allured in our heart, and we simply want his company, and we want to enjoy his company. So don't punish him," woman said. And the Brahmana was interrogated by the king. And the Brahmana said, "My dear king, let me tell you, the women of your country are all simply lusty. They do not know the rules and regulations of the scriptures, that how they are supposed to serve their husbands. They are supposed to be chaste. So if you allow me, I will educate them," he said. And the king gave permission. So the Brahmana told them, "Oh, my dear mothers, all of you are supposed to treat me like a son. The Brahmana is supposed to give the knowledge of the scriptures to the people. And for you, it's not befitting to see like this, in this way." And he said, "For the kind of impure thought that you are harboring in your mind, do you know what's the future destination for you? You will be sent to hell, where you will be severely punished for a long period of time. And then you will be born again as Rakshasis in two lifetimes. And then in the third lifetime, you will be born as donkeys. And then you will get the human body after that." So he said, "Never even harbor such a thought in your mind. Now go back to your homes, because a woman is considered a Grihalakshmi at home, and she is supposed to keep the home very sacred by following the religious vows. She is never supposed to harbor such impure thoughts in the mind. For her, the husband is like God." So all that he preached to her, to them. And when they heard all this, the woman with folded palms thanked him. And they said, "Oh Brahman, you are a personification of religious principles. Because of your good teaching, we were saved from falling prey to sinful activity. That apart from our husband, we thought of somebody else to enjoy with. We are very sorry for the mistake we committed. Now we will go back home and we will do our duties." They all went back home. Still, in their next lives, they became Rakshasis, who were all killed by Hanumanji in one of the fights. Why? Because in the previous ages, even the mental offenses were also given the results. They were also given the results. You can see that. So they had to go to hell and suffer terribly, even for thinking like this. Of course, in Kali Yuga, the thought is forgiven. Mental sins are forgiven. That doesn't mean sanction is given. But mentally also, once you try to be pure, if even mental sins are taken note by the Yamadutas and Yamaraj, you can see. And they were sent to hell for punishing. You can see how precisely the karmas are taken into account. So in this way, the Puranas give many, many pastimes which are not some kind of exaggeration or some kind of cooked stories in order to frighten a living entity not to do bad. Some people think that the Shastras give many stories so that, you know, there will be law and order in this world. Even if there is law and order in this world, what good can you achieve in this world by living? After all, this world is a miserable place. And inevitably, the life leads you to old age, disease and death. There is no ultimate goal to be achieved in material platform at all. The only good we can talk about in this world is that we have got a human body which is worthy, which is a very valuable body for achieving self-realization. Otherwise, there is nothing materially we can achieve which we can hold on to in this world. So, Shastras have no reason to cheat us or tell cook some stories and give us. These are all real histories. You hear that somebody does this and they got this body. So, we should actually take these things to our heart seriously and endeavor, struggle strenuously to avoid sinful activities, curb the sinful tendency. Now, although it is said Yamaraj is so powerful and Yamadutas are so powerful, and the Lord's energies are very powerful in allotting the right quota of punishment and reward to the respective living entities. At the same time, there are some zones where Yamaraj cannot interfere. The Yamaraj's jurisdiction is only the sinful living entities and not others. And one of that is when one takes shelter of the Lord through devotional service, then Yamaraj cannot do anything. In fact, there are two verses in the same pastime. Sakran mana krishna padaravindayor niveshitam yad gunaragi yairiha nateyamam pashabritascha tadbhatan svapne pipashyanti hichirna nishkrita. This verse says that if one becomes a devotee of the Lord, Yamadutas will not even come in your swapnam, a dream. What to speak of coming in reality and capturing a devotee? Yamadutas cannot touch the Lord's devotees. That promise is given. And then another verse is, which is spoken by Yamaraj to Yamadutas. Namo charana matrena hare pashyata putrakaha ajamilopitenaiva mrutyupashat amuchyata. He's telling, Nama Uchharana Matrena, just by the recitation of the holy name, my dear sons, just see the power of the holy name. Nama Uchharana Matrena, Hare, Hari's name. Simply saying Hari, that has liberated them from Mrityupash. See the power of the holy name. There is another verse also which says similar to this. Patitas kalito bhagna sandashtastapta ahataha Harihi iti avashenaha pumanarhati yatanaha. This verse says, while walking in the road, sometimes you slip and break your leg. Or sometimes in the top of a terrace, you slip and fall down. Sometimes, patitas khalito bhagna, sandashta. Sometimes one is bitten by a serpent. Sometimes one is having a high jwara maran. The jwara, which marana jwara, which comes at the time of death. Some deadly disease. And during these times, when a person is about to die, if he simply says Hari, only once, by that what happens? Puman na arhati yatanaha. Such a person will not have to undergo all the troubles in the hellish planets at all. A person is freed simply by saying Hari. What a amazing thing. In Bombay, people are in a hurry always, so saying Hari is very easy. Hari, 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 Hari. So in our Mangala Arati, every day we used to tell our devotees in the morning when we are getting ready for Mangala Arati, Hari, 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 we used to say. Why? By saying Hari, Hari, Hari like this, simply by the one word Hari, you become free from the hellish planets, you see. Such is the power of the holy name. For us it's a miracle, but for Lord it is not a miracle, because Lord can do anything. If you want to know one more similar miracle, I can narrate a pastime from one of the Puranic stories which I read in Kathamrita Bindu, one of these pastimes, which I read, it really touched my heart very much. How Lord's mercy can appear in a very miraculous way in somebody's life. There was one very, very deadly, sinful person called Gulika. So you have heard of Mrigari, you have heard of Valmiki, isn't it? So Gulika can be counted among the same people, probably even more dangerous. He was considered as good as God of death by the people, because he used to abduct other men's wives, exploit them and murder them. And he would murder the people and he would swindle their property. And he was going on doing this, that at one time nobody was passing through that area. So Gulika thought, if no one passes through this area, then how will I survive? Then let me better go to some place where I can loot a lot. So he was looking for a place, and then he arrived at a kingdom called Kingdom of Savira. So there was a place, it was a very great city, beautiful city, with great mansions, beautiful lakes filled with lotus and lilies, and there were so many birds there. And the country was very, very well planned and designed and built. And people were all very well dressed with costly garments and ornaments and jewelry and everything. So Gulika was very happy. I have come to a good place. I am going to have a nice booty. So he saw a very tall gopuram, on the top of which there were kalashas of a temple, and there were golden kalashas. So when he saw that, he thought to himself, oh, if the kalashas of a temple can be made of gold and so beautiful, kept in the open for everyone to see, inside this temple there must be a lot of gold and silver, and I will have a nice time. So thinking like this, he went to the temple. So when he entered the temple, it was practically empty. There was only one person there, who was a great Brahmana called Uttanka Brahmana, who was sitting there. Uttanka Brahmana, he was a reservoir of austerities and penances, and he was also a very great devotee of the Lord. And after offering worship to Lord Vishnu, he came and he was sitting at the temple with semi-closed eyes, absorbed in meditating the pastimes of the Lord. He was in a semi-state of trance. And the altar was open, and here came Gulika, seeing the altar. He saw that the Lord was wearing beautiful jewelry and ornaments and everything. So he wanted to steal, but then he felt this Brahmana is an impediment for me. Maybe he will shout and call some people. Better let me first finish him off, and then I can steal the ornaments. So thinking like that, he went near the Brahman, caught hold of his tuft, and took out his churi from his hand, that knife, and put Uttanka Brahman to the ground and kept his foot on his chest firmly, and he was about to cut off his neck. And to his great surprise, he saw Uttanka did not protest at all. He was lying down on the ground. Actually, whenever he would try to kill someone, they would protest, and he would have to exert his force. But here was Uttanka Brahman lying down on the ground, and he didn't protest at all. On the contrary, Uttanka smiled and said, I would like to speak some words of wisdom to you before you kill me, he said. And he said, my dear friend, in this world, offenders are chastised by the powerful people. But those who are good men, virtuous men, they don't even offend the sinful, he said. See the kind of contradiction. In this world, the offenders are chastised by the powerful people, but those who are good people will not even offend the sinful. Even if they see somebody who is a sinner, they will try to do good for him. They will not try to pinpoint his faults, he said. And he said, and such people who are devotees of Vishnu, who tolerate all kinds of adversities that come in their life in this world, he said, they are the favorite of Lord Vishnu. They become Lord's favorite. And such devotees, even if they are going to be killed by someone, they will not retaliate. In fact, to the one who is a killer, who is going to kill them, even for him, they will wish well in their heart, always, even at the time of dying. So indirectly, what Uttanka wanted to say, he was about to be killed now, but he said, although you are killing me, I have no hatred for you. Because I am not supposed to develop any hatred or attachment or aversion or fear towards anyone in this world if I have to become liberated and go back to the spiritual world. Because ultimately every living entity is a part and parcel of the Lord. And not only that, if somebody is doing something to me, that is also ordained by the Lord. Then if I oppose it, then that would mean that I am not accepting the desire of the Lord. So whatever is happening, this is a very high platform to think that everything is happening by Lord's will only. In fact, Uttanka said, he said a beautiful verse. He said, Mrigameena sajjanana trinajala santosha vihita vrittina lubda kadivara pishuna nishkarina vairino jagati. It's a very beautiful verse. He says, three people in this world have causeless enemies, he said. Mriga, Meena, Sajjanana. Mriga is a deer. Meena is a fish. Sajjan is a devotee of the Lord. these three people have, and these three people are so contented in their life. Mruga, a deer, is contented with what? Trina. Trina, jala, santosha, vihita, vrittina. Deer is satisfied with trin, and Meena is simply satisfied with water only. He doesn't demand anything in this world. And a sajjan or a devotee of the Lord is satisfied with santosha vihit. A very contented disposition. He is happy with that. Always santosh, satisfied disposition. Santosha vihita vrittina. But then he said, lubda kadivara pishana. But he said, these three people have causeless enemies. Like the deer has hunter, who is his causeless enemy. For no good reason, he kills the deer. And the fisherman catches the fish. And the fault-finding critics, they criticize Lord's devotees for no good reason. So in this way, he said, these are considered causeless enemies. But then, Uttanga knew that although they are considered causeless, still a devotee accepts such adversities gracefully, knowing that everything is ultimately arranged by Krishna and Krishna is watching it. Uttanga said, the Lord is watching. The Lord is standing as the deity here and he is watching all the things that are happening. So, whatever is happening, happens by Lord's will, I know that. And a devotee knows that. He said, Vishnu's devotee knows that. On the other hand, those who cause harm to Lord's devotees and to the other innocent creatures in this world, they will be severely punished in the hell. They will have to undergo terrible suffering in the hell. So that is why he thought, he wanted to teach this Gulika, that you may kill me, no problem, but do not indulge in such activities in the time to come, because it will take you to a very ghastly hell. So he was preaching in this wonderful way. When Gulika heard all these teachings, suddenly he threw away the knife from his hand and his whole body started trembling. And Uttanga Brahman was wondering, what's happening to this Gulika? And torrents of tears came from his eyes. And he was trying to say something, he couldn't speak, his voice was faltering. And he said, oh great Brahman, what kind of sins, grievous sins I have committed in this life and in the previous lives. Now, when I am hearing the glories of the devotee of Lord Vishnu, and what kind of life I have led in my life, I feel so ashamed. There is no possibility of my escaping from this terrible sinful reactions. And saying like this again and again, Gulika, on the spot, he fell on the ground like a flat rod and he dropped dead. He died on the spot. And Uttanga thought, maybe he has some life. He immediately took some charanamrita and he sprinkled on his face, and all over his body. But of course, Gulika didn't rise from his dead body. But then, when he sprinkled the charanamrita, suddenly he saw, the Vaikuntha airplane arrived there. And in that, he found Gulika was standing, surrounded by Vishnadutas, all around him. And Gulika picked up some flowers from the Vaikuntha airplane and showered it on Uttanga Brahman. And then he also came down with folded palms. He said, oh, my dear great Brahman, you are my guru. Because it was only because of the wisdom that you gave me, I could repent for my sins. And it is only by your mercy that I have attained such a great destination as this, going to Vaikuntha, although I don't deserve it. And I deserve all sinful reactions. And he said, I want to thank you very much. And he circumambulated him three times and offered obeisances and boarded the Vaikuntha airplane. And the Vaikuntha airplane headed towards the Vaikuntha Loka. And Uttaka Brahman, with both his palms folded above his head, he was offering wonderful prayers to the husband of the goddess of fortune, Lord Vishnu. And after the plane went beyond his sight, Uttanga was thinking to himself, just see how much faith this Gulika developed in a few moments by hearing about the glories of a devotee and about glories of Lord Vishnu. And right in the presence of Lord Vishnu in the temple, in front of him, he repented so bitterly, and he could burn away all his sins in few moments, and he could ascend to Vaikuntha. This is undoubtedly a miracle. So Uttanga Brahman preached to him and Gulika went before him to the spiritual world. Of course, Uttanga was no less. He was also a very great Brahmana and devotee. And in the end of his life, he also went back to Godhead. But we can see the power of Lord's mercy, which is beyond the jurisdiction of Yamaraj and Yamadutas. As it is explained here, they are so powerful that they can never be hindered anywhere. But in Gulika's case, they were hindered. They could, Yamadutas didn't come and take him to hell to punish him for all the sinful reactions, because Gulika had become transcendental by hearing the pure, sublime spiritual message from a devotee. So that is the power of devotional service. The devotional service can elevate a person beyond the three modes of material nature to a spiritual platform. Even a very sinful person, because the Ajamila's case is very special. Because Ajamila was a Brahmana before, he knew all the Brahminical principles. He went to fetch some, get some flowers from the forest. So he was following all yajna, dana, tapa, everything, which a typical Brahmana would follow. But still his mind became afflicted by a sinful desire. What does that show? That means yajna, dana, tapa doesn't have the necessary potency to avoid contemplating on sin. It cannot free us from contemplation on sin. Even after doing yajna, dana, tapa, still the tendency to contemplate on sin is very deeply rooted there. Whereas the same Ajamil, at the time of his death in the deathbed, was surrounded by products of sin, namely the children who were born of the prostitute. In the midst of such sinful life, when he only once called Narayana, this four-syllable word, called out the holy name, by that holy name, he was risen from such a downtrodden, sinful region to the most elevated, pure region, which is meant for the Paramahamsas. So he was given a second chance to practice devotional service, and he went to Haridwar and he became a great devotee and he ascended to spiritual world. So this is the power of the holy name. Just before this verse, we heard the verse, Yatagadam viryatamam upayuktam yadachaya ajanato pyatmagunam kurvan mantra udakhratah ajanato apyatmagunam. The holy name is so powerful, we only need to have faith in the holy name. Just like when we go to the doctor, we don't go to a doctor with a raised nose. Doctor, I don't feel anything wrong with me. I'm quite well. We don't go and say that. If you say that, then doctor will ask you, okay, if you're quite well, then why did you come to me? Better you be at home. Similarly, I am telling this example because I myself want to purify myself of this tendency to be very proud of piety, to be very proud of our understanding of philosophy and knowledge. So there is a tendency for us to become proud, and that kind of false pride with which we approach the guru or spiritual master, who is the actual doctor, spiritual doctor, then he will, how will he give the medicine? If we go with a raised nose, like anti-aircraft gun, we cannot get the mercy. But when you go to a doctor, we go to a doctor in a helpless way. You go to a doctor and say, doctor, doctor, I'm feeling this problem, I'm feeling that problem. Yesterday night I felt this, day before I felt this, And doctor will take all diagnosis. Okay, don't worry. I'm there, don't worry. He gives you assurance. And then doctor gives you some, blue pills, green pills, yellow pills, everything, and all big and small, all kinds of tablets. You don't even know what they are, But you have complete faith in the doctor. Yes, doctor, tell me how many times I should eat, morning, afternoon, evening. You very carefully consume it. And then you become well. So we have a great faith in the doctor and we have dependence on the doctor. Similarly, while approaching the holy name, Guru is giving the medicine of the holy name. So if we depend on the spiritual master and accept the medicine of the holy name with great faith, then it will have effect. And when you accept it, ajanato pyatmagudam kurvan manta udaharta, just like a medicine has the effect in the body, even if you don't know the efficacy of the medicine, or if you don't know the chemical formula of the medicine, there is no problem. It will have effect in your body. That's why once when Ekalavya Prabhu came to Pune, one student came to him and said, he asked, Prabhuji, sir, I am very surprised. You are from America, but how can you develop love for Krishna? He's coming for the program first time. He's coming. So this boy was very surprised that an American person can develop a loving attraction for Krishna, who is a Hindu god. So he was thinking like that. So Ekala Prabhu laughed and said, he said, Krishna is not a Hindu god. Krishna is god of everyone. Krishna is such a sarva akarshak. He is such an all-attractive god. He said that he not only attracts gopis, he also attracts the gopas. He attracts the cows, calves. He attracts all living entities, the whole creation, he said. So everyone is attracted like that. So this attraction is there in all of us, in every living entity. And he was telling, I read Prabhupada's books and I took shelter of a spiritual master and I chanted the holy name and thus my attraction has become awakened, he said. So that is the power of the holy name. The holy name is so powerful that sometimes we can be, you know, the dormant Krishna consciousness is so covered over in the heart, but it can be awakened. A great attraction can be reawakened by the mercy of the spiritual master. If the holy name is taken with great attention and care, and with great faith. And giving up, I mean, escaping from the hell is not a very big deal for a devotee. A devotee doesn't chant the holy name to escape from hell. In fact, a devotee is ready to go to hell if he can chant holy name better there, in hell, and not in heaven. So, but escaping from hell or attaining liberation, all these things come as byproduct benefits for a devotee who is keen on reviving the Krishna prema that is dormant in his heart. My dear Maharaj Parikshit, O subduer of all enemies, after the servants of Yamaraj had been answered by the order carriers of Lord Vishnu, they went to Yamaraj and explained to him everything that had happened. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद् भागवतम की श्रील प्रभुपाद की गौर भक्तवृंद की. सो हैव फुलफिल माय ड्यूटी व्हाट गोविंद प्रभु गेव मी. हरे कृष्ण. श्रील प्रभुपाद की.